Hey everyone, my name is Chris Lambert. On this channel, we talk Kanye West, and today we are talking the Jason Lee and Ye interview. It finally came out after like 2 weeks. Jason finally dropped it, so it's on Hollywood Unlocked as part of this It's Time We Humanize Kanye West article. I don't know if it's on YouTube or not, but this is where I finally found it. And you can see that the interview is 42 minutes. Is that it? Oh my goodness, what is it doing? Okay, 44 minutes and 36 seconds. So it's just Ye and Jason Lee talking. I actually, believe it or not, have not watched the interview yet. Yes, sometimes my life does not entirely revolve around Ye content. Sometimes. But I will watch it soon and make kind of a reaction. But I figured at least for this video, we'd do an announcement and then go through this article here that kind of recaps some points. It's kind of funny too. I didn't realize his handle was the only Jason Lee, and that's because this actor, Jason Lee, from a number of things. My Name is Earl is probably the most popular one, is also named Jason Lee. So Jason Lee just kind of like, no, I'm the only Jason Lee. So looking at this article written by Blue here, Kanye West has often been cited as a polarizing figure, but his massive impact on not just black culture, but the world at large is undeniable. That is not an opinion, it is a quantifiable fact. Yet on the warm January afternoon when he sat down with Jason Lee at the Hollywood Unlocked Studios in Los Angeles, gone was the flashiness that one would expect from someone of his celebrity, replaced by the earnest candor of a loving father. Demanding to be heard. So we get this first quote. They act like people just can't be human. They actually strip me of my humanity when they label me and put me in a box. That's the issue that I have with paparazzi a lot. The multi-hyphenate entertainer explained while discussing how the narrative about his mental health is often weaponized against him. Which, notice like the nice subtlety here of they actually strip me of my humanity when they label me. And here Blue's careful to say the multi-hyphenates, right? So instead of reducing him down to the rapper, the musical artist, the designer, like one of these specific things, it's just the multi-hyphenate. The flashing lights rapper, you know, the multi-hyphenate entertainer, explained while discussing. Okay, so a perfect example of this is the recent hoopla surrounding the 44-year-old's attempts to attend his daughter Chicago's fourth birthday party, which should have been a fun afternoon with friends and family, quickly snowballed into headlines and public debates about if his desire to be present that day were justified or crazy. Which, a little interesting, because this interview took place a week before that happened, or a few days before that happened. So then you have the article kind of getting into, even though it's talking kind of about the interview, it's getting into things in the aftermath of the interview. Crazy is a word that has often been thrown at West, who now goes by Ye. But he maintains that if you took away the cleverly constructed controversies fueled by overzealous publicists, there's actually nothing wild or unhinged about a black father wanting to actively co-parent his children. This is the reason why I wanted to sit down and talk to you directly and talk to the world about exactly what happened, he told Lee. It's just no communication, and I never had like a Solange in my family that was really like, I feel what you're saying, even though I take care of 300,000 people in my family. One of the most striking things about the 45-minute sit-down is how relaxed Ye appears. 44 minutes and 36 seconds. Ye appears when speaking about his estranged wife, Kim Kardashian, who is currently dating SNL vet Pete Davidson. There is an unexpected tenderness in his voice as he outlines their relationship, struggles, and then casually drops a jaw-dropping bombshell about her sex tape scandal. Which, this is something I heard, I guess maybe on Twitter yesterday or the day before, but he talked about, I don't know if it gets in here, he actually went and met up with Ray J. So before Kim did SNL and she's in New York preparing, Ye hopped on a red eye, flew out, met Ray J, and got the actual physical copies of the tape and the data, like the main stuff that is the basis of the Ray J Kim Kardashian tape, and brought it all the way back to Kim and gave it to her so that she finally was the one in possession of this, in control of this. Like, it could never be distributed again. Like, in that way, like the original copy, right? Just having that source material, I guess was like a huge thing. And he gave that to her before she went on at SNL. And he was talking, at least in the interview from what I was reading or from the clip that I watched, about how kind of wild it was for him to go and do all this and then have her make the jokes that she made and kiss Pete Davidson, like right in front of him while he's right there. It was just a little bit of like, oh, I just went and did this and that's what you do. Ooh. Okay. He said, this is the most transacted upon human being other than Santa Claus or Jesus Christ. She's the most famous person in the world, he boasts at one point, unable to contain how highly he still thinks of her. This is a stark contrast to the messaging from the Kardashian camp, whose sources allege are determined to paint Kim as a stoic matriarch, patiently waiting for a manic ex to calm down. Yeah, right? Like a lot of the headlines, which Jason Lee talked about in one of his Instagram lives, was coming from a Kardashian publicist in terms of like, this is the person that's putting out all of these stories and the slant of all of the stories and the framing of all of these stories to make Kim look a certain way, in this case, the stoic matriarch, while painting Ye in a different way, in this case, the manic ex who just needs to calm down. And you have seen a lot of stories like that, but then Ye goes on and does this interview with Jason Lee and it's like, oh, you know, really behind the scenes, what is he like? Because a lot of people see the headlines and they just think yelling. They have visions of Kanye on rants and think that that must be what it's like all the time. And then you see this interview with him where he's talking about all this stuff and you see the humanizing aspects of Ye. And I think that's shocking to a lot of people. I think it's something that a lot of Kanye fans have gone through themselves. Like, I feel like most of the Kanye fans I've talked to in person have had some kind of arc where it was, you're kind of interested in his music or very interested in his music, but you're not necessarily as into Ye as a person because you've read all these headlines, heard all these things, and you're a little bit more skeptical on who he is. But then you start getting into the music and the music's so awesome. And then you start learning a little bit more. You start watching interviews, you start reading into some more details and nuance, and you realize some of the perception that you had of Kanye West wasn't based in the reality of who he actually is, but in the construction of who the media makes you think he is, which can be aligned at times, but often can be wildly different when you're just seeing headlines and reactions and like him as the butt of jokes rather than actually seeing him, hearing from him directly. So whenever he does interviews like this, I think it goes a long way to having that humanizing element the media constantly takes from him by how they present him and choose to present him. Okay. To be fair, Ye certainly is no angel and has played his part in creating this enigmatic myth around himself, a fact that he even concedes to. Yes, like Ye does get wild at times, but I think on the overall balance of things, especially when you're following him closely over the course of years, like a lot of fans are, you realize there's certainly more good than there is some of the drama, right? And some of the worst case scenario things. Even then, when you usually get things like in context, they're not quite as bad as some of the headlines make them seem. But when it comes to his in-laws, he counters, we are not going to be playing these little games, these little throw a stone and hide your hand moves. You know what you did, but then if I scream or react or something, it's like, look at him, he's so crazy. I wasn't crazy when I put the creative director, Skims. Was it crazy when you made a temp $2 billion? Huh. Okay. I don't know if that's like a direct quote or if there's just like a word or two missing, but this is something that he talked about with Drake as well. He talked about how Drake sends subliminals, and it's one of those things where it's like people hear the song, and to Ye, who knows some of the context or gets why something that Drake sends that says that might seem inoffensive is actually greatly offensive. And it's one of those things where it's like, what did Ye use? He used the analogy of boxing, where it's like the ref doesn't see this other guy like taking these cheap shots or getting these hits in that aren't supposed to be happening, like little below the belt shots. So then when Ye finally goes off and like hits him after the bell or something, or gets angry, he's the one that gets in trouble, even though he was getting provoked and poked and prodded this entire time. So he has another example of this in terms of the media stories that are coming out, and the idea of the Kardashian family like throwing these little stones in the media and being like, oh, we didn't do anything. No. Did it come from us? No. Okay. So to his point, there's a huge difference between disagreeing with someone and dehumanizing them altogether. Although Ye is often painted as a hysterical egomaniac, business-wise, his reach has never been wider. Which begs the question, who does it actually serve to make a black man with this much power an ongoing punchline, rather than leveraging his influence to feed and uplift his community? Although a lot of celebs have a reputation for being aloof and resistant to feedback, Ye has made it a point to be more accessible lately, particularly with black media outlets who have historically been deprioritized by A-listers. I wish that we could just get to a place where we just appreciate people while they're here, he explains, while recalling the night he, Lee, Floyd Mayweather, Madonna, Antonio Brown, Evan Ross, and Julia Fox were all snapped hanging out in an instantly viral clip. And while some would call that wish idealistic, it's a sobering reminder of all the living legends who have already passed away in the first few weeks of the new year. None of them perfect, but all of them still incredibly beloved for their contributions. In the midst of so many reminders about our shared mortality, do we honestly want to get into the habit of only showing people grace after they've passed? Instead of complaining about how we want the old Ye back, it may be time to call the new Ye in to have a more courageous conversation like the one he had with Lee. Throwing away successful black people who sincerely care about their communities just doesn't sit right with me anymore. Because ultimately, no one wins when the family feuds. Man. And Blue Talusma here is a columnist whose viral think pieces have been featured on CNN, HuffPost, BuzzFeed, USA Today, BET, and several other national news outlets. Her work mainly focuses on dissecting pop culture, promoting emotional intelligence, and fostering activism through the arts. So yeah, I think we got to see what Blue brings to the table in that piece, because when's the last time you've seen an article about Ye that was this kind of heady and not like philosophical in a destructive way, and like what damage will Ye wrought on the world, rather like what damage are we doing to an individual who like wants to do good and prioritizes doing good despite mistakes, and how is the, I guess, criticisms levied upon Ye or the toxicity thrown his way compared to what other celebrities receive, and why is it more towards him than others, and what is the end goal of this, you know? And it starts to get back into journalism, like and modern journalism and media, and this system that we've created of monetizing clicks and monetizing anger, to where the more you can start to make someone into a punching bag in the media, the more you can start to generate headlines around them and the antics that they do, and can start to lift them up as this, I don't want to say, what's the phrase? I already said punching bag, so I'm trying to think of something different. But the more you can lift them up into this spectacle, that's something that you throw darts at, right? That people can direct anger towards. There starts to be at some point an accountability in the media, or a reckoning that needs to occur, and how the internet is allowing people to use voices, and how outlets are allowing people to have conversations about a topic in a way that could be seen as disingenuous, as directed in a way that corresponds to clicks or anger or what's in the best interest of generating views. And that doesn't sit well with me. So I appreciate Blue's article here, and I'm looking forward to catching like the full interview with Jason Lee and Ye over the next, you know, day or so. But we'll make a video in the aftermath sharing some thoughts, but I wanted to give this article a read and let you all know that this interview is available. So that's it for now. Until next time, stay wavy and keep it loopy. Cheers.